Welcome to the Drunk to Who podcast. As always, and eternally yours, I'm John.
I'm Steve.
That was very underdramatic, Steve.
I know.
Okay, and this is the podcast where what happens, pray tell, Steven?
This is the podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, and we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
And I just had a drink of beer.
Yep.
Just to prove your point.
Yep.
And today, guess what, Steve?
What?
New series, Series 8.
Yes, new Doctor.
New Doctor, new series, Series 7, that has been as long as 2020 seems to have been.
Yeah. This Doctor, do they like restart the number? Is he Doctor number 1? Or 1A?
No. He's Doctor number, he's 12. Because Matt Smith was 11. Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah, Matt Smith was 11.
Sorry, yeah, I'm confused because Tennant regenerated into himself.
And then we don't count the War Doctor either.
Okay, all right.
Because he's his own thing.
So this is 12.
This is Doctor number 12.
All right.
And today we're going to be watching Series 8, Episode number 1. Which, you know what, happens to be Episode number 116 of the Drunk to Who podcast, Steve.
True.
So today we're going to discuss an episode called Deep Breath.
Yes. Yeah, that was Heidi's joke on the last episode.
I remember, I listened.
Okay. Yeah, and since, just to reset really quick, that I have never seen Doctor Who, I'm watching it for the first time.
Yeah.
That's all, just in case. We should say that every, like, 30 or 40 episodes.
Well, they did kind of treat this as, like, it wasn't really a reboot. They treated this as, like a refresh.
Like a soft reset.
Yeah, so, like, people can come in. It's like, you don't need to know the past history.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even know who that guy with the floppy hair was, or like the guy with the sand shoes, or the cool guy in the leather jacket. Yeah.
And bow tie.
And bow tie.
Okay.
Yeah. Or in long scarf. What's up? What's up with long scarves, people who wear scarves nowadays? Anywho,
hey, let's actually focus and get going.
Focus. You're telling me to focus. Wow.
I know.
There's something wrong here. Go on, Steve. What's Deep Breath about?
Deep Breath is about, so the Doctor, Peter Capaldi, and Clara are in the TARDIS, and he doesn't know how to fly the TARDIS because he's got some memory issues. He's woken up from this weird coma, essentially, and he doesn't know the president. He doesn't know what's going on, or the queen, although it's been the same queen for like 80 years, whatever. So anyway, he does some weird thing and the TARDIS doesn't like it, and it accidentally releases from containment an airborne like alien pathogen. Like it's a conscious alien, but it is like I don't know, micro nuggets of alien stuff.
Maybe its name is Covine 19 or something.
Oh shit, I didn't even think of that.
It's like, oh, it's from the Covine system, the 19th planet circling its sun of Covine Minor.
All right, so here we go. So they're in the TARDIS, and the Doctor inadvertently breaks the TARDIS. Let's say he spills a cup of coffee on his keyboard, and it shorts out. Sorry,
it's coffee.
I'm in tech support, and it has happened too many times. and it shorts out. The whole thing shorts out. So, and there's a radiation leak, and so they have to put on these special suits, and the special suits only last a certain amount of time because they don't. And then the Doctor, and I think I did something similar to this last time. He basically has lives flash before his eyes, and then he remembers what to do. Ta-da!
Ta-da!
And then he saves the day.
Well, I would hope. You know, I mean, he's a new Doctor. I'm sure he's going to do what the old Doctors do.
Whatever.
Saving the day.
That's just a dumb answer on my part. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time.
No, you won't.
I know.
So this is the point of the show where we have our trademarked Drunk to Who toast of the episode. And usually you try and theme it up somehow. I wonder what you're... Sometimes you like to theme it up something. Well, today, what's your damn shot, Steve? Or what's your damn toast?
Send more cops.
Oh, was that real?
Mm-hmm. I figured that was about a shot left in that bottle of Jack Daniels, so I just drank out of the bottle.
My sister did that to me once. I don't know if we did it on the thing where it's like you chugged.
I filled an empty bottle of vodka halfway full with water and just slammed it and freaked you out a little bit.
Yeah, I was a little freaked out. So that's Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
I know that one. Send more cops.
I rewatched that like a month or so ago. And
so good.
It's a lot of fun.
So good.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, well, let's see if that comes true.
Nothing will come true.
Nothing will.
We're all doomed. True.
We are all doomed.
All right.
And we'll see you on the other side, people. We're going to enjoy an episode of Doctor Who called Deep Breath.
Yeah.
And yeah. So join us. Don't join us. Listen to us. Just bullshit.
Dude, just stop. Just go. Let's be done. Right.
Give Heidi the last word, Steve.
All right. You have to go find her.
All right. We'll see you on the other side, peeps.
Yep.
Welcome back. We just watched an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. And we watched a new episode with a new doctor, a new season.
A super long episode.
It was. Did it feel long?
There were times where I was just like, yeah,
this feels like an ending. Why is it still going?
Or this feels like it was just extra. Like, you know, the scene where Strax is doing a medical scan of Clara. I'm like, okay, that just feels like it's superfluous, but whatever.
Years ago, I remember like seeing that was
like
a
deleted scene that could have been excised.
That was actually longer.
That scene?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
We're seeing like years ago when it originally aired. That was actually a longer scene. So,
I believe it could be. Yeah.
So, Steve.
Yeah.
This here episode of Doctor Who.
It was called Deep Breath.
It was.
Season 8, Episode 1.
Episode 116.
Episode 116 of our podcast.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I am right.
Well, I just said it, so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
You said it in our time, like an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. So.
Right, you know, and yeah. So what happened on this here episode?
So,
how did it start?
It started with a
giant fucking T-Rex. That was the biggest fucking T-Rex I've ever seen.
It started with a thank you.
It was 1,000 feet tall.
Thank you for saying how did it start and then not letting me answer.
Go ahead, Steve.
It started with a T-Rex that towered over any other structure in Victorian era London, wandering around. And then we see like cops are just like, hey, don't approach it. Don't approach it. And everybody's like, duh, dumbass. It's a T-Rex. I'm not going to approach it. And then Lady Vastra, Jenny and Strax, the Paternoster gang, they show up and they're just like, oh yes, we're going to help. And then it's the cop they work with. It's a Sherlock Holmes vibe.
Very much so.
With the detective.
I'm a buffoon. I'm Sergeant Buffoon.
Yeah. And so then they say, oh, look, that dinosaur, it's in the Thames for some reason. Oh, and it looks like it might be choking on something. What could it be choking on? As soon as they said it looks like it's choking on something, I'm thinking it's choking on the fucking TARDIS. That's how it got there. Because I think they also mentioned, like, someone mentioned, like, time travel. What? No. But yeah, and then it's choking on something. It's clearly choking on the TARDIS, and that's how it got there. So it spits out the TARDIS. Like someone gave that a dino Heimlich maneuver. The doctor comes out when Strax goes up to the TARDIS. The doctor comes out and he's just like, no, what? You? Oh, no, thank you. Like he's very curt.
He's very Scottish.
Apparently. That was made very clear in this episode. If you didn't know Peter Capaldi was Scottish before this, you definitely knew after.
Very clear.
Yeah. So he, the doctor keeps poking his head and I'd be like, what are you doing here? Never mind. And then just like kind of pokes his head out and then says no, pokes his head out and says no. And then the doctor comes running out and is very disoriented. And he's like,
you've got the dinosaur.
He's trying to kill me. Or, I don't know. He's not trying to kill me. It's like, he's confusing me. And it's like, he is Clara. And there's a little bit of comedy where he's just like, you know, I can't tell the two of you apart when Clara is standing next to Strax.
Yeah. Well, then he's like talking to the dinosaur. It's like, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know, sir. And I mean, lady. Oh, I'm not hitting on you now. Ooh. No,
you're a big old sexy beast.
Yeah, even like Madame Vastra is like, you know, haven't seen one of those since I was a child. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That, she says that to the cop, basically, like, yeah. Yeah.
Can
like
you believe?
She's been around forever. Can you believe,
Mrs.? What they say is over here.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that since I was a child. Oh, I'm a lady lizard lady from the old times.
A lady lizard lady from the old times, yes.
And my wife is a human.
When everybody knows that Sexy Beast is actually Ben Kingsley.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he wore the shit out of that one.
Or was so it like Ray Winstone? I don't remember who was.
No, I think it was. I think you're right.
The titular Sexy Beast in the movie Sexy Beast. Anyway.
Titular, if you might.
Sure.
So the doctor's going on and on, and like Clara shows up, and then like, you know, it's like Madame Vash is like, who the fuck is this? And she's like, it's the doctor. She says, oh,
yeah,
or, I guess we're going through this again. And the doctor passes out.
Yeah. And she says, but he's old. Like she's fixated on he's old.
Yeah.
So as an old, did that offend you?
It didn't offend me. No, but I want to talk about the new credits.
Oh, see, okay, so I didn't know, because there were like essentially clockwork cyborgs in this episode, I didn't know if those credits were just for this episode or were new for Peter Capaldi.
They're new.
Well, I knew they were new, but I didn't know if they're going to be different in the next episode. Because the fact that last season, they tweaked the credits every once in a while.
Yeah, it's like, we've got Daleks. So it looks like little Dalek balls on them. Oh, now we have lizards, lizard skin.
So these are a lot of like clockwork and gears in the credits and behind the opening credits. And then we come back and there is like a clockwork man, Phantom of the Opera mask type thing.
Did you think of the effect on that?
I thought it was pretty good. Like,
I thought it was really good.
At times you're like, oh, that's clearly just a dude with like green screen makeup on that they are projecting the clockwork on. Like it didn't get me all the time, but I thought for 2013 TV budget, it was good.
14.
24. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, then it's horrible.
You should be, you monster.
You're right.
But like, yeah, it like, yeah. It, you know, like later.
It they looked actually, good.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it looked very good. It was very good. And later, you know, they used a doll, you know, when it was like in repose, when it was like, oh, it's charging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But like, other than that, like, I thought it was like really good.
So it was a doll man.
Yeah. But like, you know, really.
Like the movie Doll Man starring Tim Thomerson.
Yeah, it was just like that. I was
not Doll Man versus Demonic Toys.
Oh, Jesus. No, that one was.
That's later in the series.
That was so derivative.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, like when we come back from credits, it's like, you know, they're talking about the doctor and stuff. It's like, oh, he's so old. I don't know who that is because he's so old. Why are you so English? And then,
is this going to be your Scottish accent, your Peter Capaldi impression throughout our recording?
I'm just trying to make a point.
Are you just workshopping it?
I can see a Scottish, you fucker.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you fucking piece of shite. No, okay. But like, you know, no. When they, when Clara was talking to the doctor, and then when Jenny was talking to the doctor, it was like, you're so English. Did you pick up that Madame Vastra went Scottish on him?
Oh, no. This is a little bit later.
Well, this is after the credits came back.
Well, he's
in the bedroom.
Okay, really quick.
Why do I keep sleeping? And it's like, you're all just so sound so wrong. And then she's like, ew.
Really quick. There's a scene, I believe, that are right after the end credits that are just common time-appropriate British people wandering around London being like, holy shit, there's a giant dinosaur. Oh, yeah. Well, you're not going to stay out too late tonight, are you? Because there's been all the crime. And then it's like, oh, no, I know about all the crime, but I'll be fine. But I'm going to be out for as long as I want to be out. And then the guy talks to, like, it's a married couple, and the guy talks to, like, Phantom of the Opera cyborg guy. And then Phantom of the Opera cyborg guy, Clockwork Man, says, oh, you have great eyes. I think I'll take them. and then he takes his eyes. Then we see in Madame Vestris' house, the doctor freaking out because he realizes, wait, this room has a bed in it, so the only purpose is to be a room with a bed in it. And he's eventually, you know, he's like, yeah, right. He's like, you're talking wrong. Your British accent, you're talking wrong. And then Madame Vestris adopts a Scottish accent to comfort him and says, like, I'm going to mind meld with you. And then he's like, well, I have a big brain, so it's going to hit you like a piano. And she's like, okay, try me, bitch. And they do the mind meld thing, and then I swear to God, I thought I heard like a boing cartoon sound effect.
You did.
That was so weird.
No, I thought it was great.
It took me out of it. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Well, she's like, monkey. Yeah, I'm a monkey. I'm a monkey. My wife says, "No, no, he's an ape. You're a monkey.
No,
like hot monkey love or whatever it is."
Jenny says, "Like, well, wait a minute. You say monkey, but that's not true." And she, I thought you called us apes. And she's like, "Oh no, I call humans are apes, but or basically it was like, not all humans." All humans are apes, but only men are monkeys or something like that.
Yeah, it was some
men are monkeys.
It was a dig.
It was a dig at dudes.
And Clara's going on about like, oh, this isn't right. He's old now. And, oh, he's so old. And oh my gosh, he's so old. Why is he so old? And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then Madame Bash is like, get my veil. And then come see me after you get my veil.
Yeah.
And then, like, like, Claire's like, was she pissed at me? And it's like, go talk to her with the
and he's
veil.
Like, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, go see for yourself. Jenny and Madame Vestris are married, and they're in the room, and they're talking to Clara. And Clara's just like, okay, why are you being a bitch to me? I know what you look like. Why are you wearing the veil? Like, I'm cool with you being a lizard lady. And then Madame Vestris, I don't remember the exact conversation, but it was like, are you? Because you seem to be very superficial right now. Like, were you fucking the doctor? No. Then why do you care that he's old? And Clara never said, and I thought she should have, just like, okay, this is my friend, and all of a sudden my friend has a different face. Like, it's throwing me off. I'm working on it.
Can I bring up something?
Of course.
Okay, so we saw in fairly recently-ish for us where, like, Clara jumped into his time stream.
His scar.
And she saw that he had many different faces.
Including some very old faces.
Right, exactly. But she never saw this face.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I always, like, had a thing where...
But she saw these eyes, I thought.
Well, but...
In the 50th anniversary special, I thought they showed Peter Capaldi's eyes.
No, I was focusing on his eyebrows.
Okay.
They're like, those are killer eyebrows.
They're cross. They're angry.
Oh, they are so cross.
They want to secede from the rest of the face.
Oh my God. Those are like amazing eyebrows.
Anyway.
But like, you know, so where she's, I like when I first watched the episode, I was kind of like, wait, she knows he changes.
Yeah.
She knows that she basically just saw like Matt Smith as an old man.
Yeah.
You know, was she expecting that he'd regenerate and be like a younger man? You know, she knows what he has done over the past. Yeah. This always bothered me, but I also since then have read like, you know, people are kind of like, well, maybe she was kind of plucked out of it and she doesn't really have a real strong memory of being the Impossible Girl. She said, he called me the Impossible Girl.
Yeah.
She didn't really say, I am the Impossible Girl. So,
well, that's because it's the label he gave her. But even still, like, she did see the doctor age on, is it Tralmafador?
Trenzalore.
Tralmafador, I believe, is from Slaughterhouse-Five. Sorry. Trenzalore. Like, she saw him age because she kept going away to go back to fucking like Thanksgiving or not Thanksgiving, but like Christmas dinner for her
family.
Well,
she's wearing the same outfit, so it's basically Christmas night for her still.
Yeah, so she saw him like get an old creaky dude, Matt Smith dude, like, and then all of a sudden he changed back to young, and then before he's zapped into Peter Capaldi. Like,
right, but to me it was kind of like, you know, in my head, I was like, she saw that he was a different person. But again,
she saw that he was many different people.
And I think she theoretically and intellectually understands that, but maybe it's all kind of a hazy thing for her.
I don't know. In the 50th anniversary, she saw him as John Hurt and David Tennant also, yeah, besides Matt Smith. Like, so, and two of the three of those are very young and good looking, right, dudes, but like, it's John, I mean, like, she saw, I don't, anyway, we don't need to belabor the point.
Well, she even saw like John Hurt, and she was talking to him, and like John Hurt, who is clearly like 1,000 years older than these two other actors. And she goes, yeah, your eyes are so young. You're so, yeah, young. But she recognized that, like, you know, chronologically,
yes,
he was younger than the other two.
Let's say you haven't seen someone that you went to high school with for like 10 years, or an old friend that you haven't seen for 10 years, and all of a sudden they come back and they're like, you know, they've shaved their head and they've got a tattoo on their face. Like, you know, it's the same person, but you're just going to be thrown and you're going to deny that reality because that's a ridiculous reality. What Not the shaved head, but the face tattoo.
Post Malone now or something? It's like, Jesus, that's just
wrong. Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
All right, old man. But like, yeah, so... So the doctor's sleeping, and then he's like, but he's like muttering asleep because he's hearing the dinosaur.
Like,
he's
hearing the T-Rex.
He's like, I'm alone.
Everything is gray.
Every, you know, there's no more trees. I'm alone.
The sky is gray or something. Yeah.
It's like, this sucks. And like, yeah, you know, Clara goes down, she's talking to Vastra and Jenny, and it's like, why are you wearing that veil? Don't you trust me? It's like, oh, I'm wearing a veil. And then, like, Sully is like, they basically, like, verbally bitch slap her and make her feel like, you know, that she has been judgmental. And then essentially, yes, wait, oh, right, well, now we're going to help the doctor and, like, make it good. When it did you take off the veil? Oh, when you were ready to see who I
when
really
you,
was.
When you noticed. And I think, yeah, Jenny accused Madame Vastra of flirting with Clara once or twice. But yeah, and when they're doing this, the doctor basically wakes up and he's just like, oh shit, and I gotta go help the dinosaur. And he runs out the door and he's like, no, that's not me. And so he like jumps out the fucking window and he's like, yeah, that's more me. And he's running around on the roof, and then he see, and he's just running, and he calls like the dinosaur a big sexy beast. And he's like, I'm going to help.
I'm not flirting with you.
I'm not flirting, but I'm going to help. You know, respectfully, you're a big, sexy beast.
I'm going to take you back to your own time. Nothing bad is ever going to, really, nothing ever bad is going to happen to you.
And then the dinosaur bursts into flames and is clearly in distress and pain.
And she's like, you fucking piece of shit. I can't believe the doctor fucking always lies.
I don't know if she said that, but whatever. I mean, I had subtitles on, but they didn't subtitle the dinosaur talking. We just, the doctor translating.
I think they had like shawarma back then. Like, did they make some like, you know, like dinosaur shawarma? Because like, why waste that shit?
It's a lot of meat. It depends.
I mean, that thing was like so big. That would have like fed like, I don't know, Oliver Twist.
Million, you know, thousands.
For like a year and a half, easily.
Him but the and problem all their is... orphans. The problem is that it was cooked with the skin on, and you don't know, it's probably been burnt, you know, it wasn't cooked evenly. It just burst into flames. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, you probably want to have that like a nice mid rare.
You want a nice, you want a nice char on one side.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, it's like, you know, it's maybe it's like, you know, kind of like where they have like chicharrones. It's like, here is your dinosaur chicharrones. So let's just call them dicharrones.
So, but it wasn't, there was no marinade, you know, it was in the Thames. Like, you can't marinate it in the Thames. That doesn't sound good. Well, in Victorian, plumbing for everybody era Thames, you don't want to marinate your meat in that.
Crikey, you can really taste the feces. Ew.
Ew. So, yeah, the dinosaur bursts into flames, and the doctor, like, shows up there, like, he commandeers a carriage or a horse. And then,
like, do you mind if I take your pet?
Yeah.
The guy's like, what are you talking about, my pet? He's like, I was talking to the horse, bitch. Boom, booyah.
So then the Paternoster gang and Clara, they jump in the carriage and they end up there and they find the doctor, and the doctor jumps into the river.
Yeah.
To save the dinosaur? I don't know. Or no, because they see a guy who's walking like casually, unlike all the other pudding-brained people who are gawking.
The doctor recognized that, like, you know, it's like, hey, has anyone else burst into flames like this dinosaur? And like Madame Vastra is like, now that you bring it up. And the doctor's like, oh, I'm going to find out by jumping in the river.
Yeah.
So the doctor is like, you know, the doctor's going to investigate. Madame Vastra and, like, you know, the paternoster gang are investigate. And, like, Clara wakes up the next morning and her hair. Did she spend, like, 27 hours on her hair?
Oh, my God. Her hair was, like, impeccable. And she looked, I don't know. I didn't go back and compare. But in the season 7 episode where she's, like, you know, the barmaid / governess in Victorian era London with the paternoster gang, like, did she have the same hairstyle?
I wouldn't be surprised. It felt very Victorian.
It seems like the type of show that would definitely make that a conscious choice.
Probably. Well, then she's got, like, a bustle in her dress, and she's, like, talking to Strax when she wakes up. Oh, Strax is outside. They've got the TARDIS. And it's like, hey, Strax, how about the newspaper? He's like, yes, sir, here's the newspaper. And he bonks her in the head with the newspaper.
Oh, he flings it up there. And then
there was some good comedy in this
episode. Oh, there was. And then he meets her down in the kitchen later on. He's mopping, and he's like, would you like some food? And she's like, no, I just want some water. So he gives her the mop bucket, and she's like, no, thank you, no, I'm okay.
That might have been better than Thames water. Who knows?
Maybe. And then he uses some instrument to scan her, and he points it at her eye and says, ah, because he doesn't know human anatomy. And then he's looking at her subconscious and like, those young men are exercising. And it's like, well, no.
Is she picturing gay porn in her head?
I assume that maybe it was just like nude dudes dancing.
Chicks like the gay porn.
I don't know.
You're not a chick dude.
I'm not a chick dude. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're not.
No. So, and then, I mean, this whole scene felt like it was superfluous.
Yeah.
But the point of it was for Strax to say, like, well, if you're going to be with us for a while, if you're going to work with us, I want to make sure you're in peak physical condition. And she's like,
boy.
Why would I work with you? I'm the doctor's companion.
And a boy.
Like, he's like, oh, yeah. Okay. You know, yeah, sure. You're the doctor's companion. But, you know, still, in case you stick around with us in Victorian era London.
In the meantime, we go to like a London back alley where the doctor's rooting out in trash.
In his nightshirt.
Yeah, so he sees like a guy in the alley, and the guy in the alley is like, oh, I'm all drunk. And Peter Capaldi's like, oh, you know, what does this face mean? This face means something. Did you know who I am? And the drunk guy's like, no.
He's like, I'm this face seems familiar, but I don't know. And I'm like, is that kind of like winking at the audience because they chose an actor who was already in Doctor Who in Donna's first full companion episode, the Something of Pompeii? What was it called?
Fires
of Pompeii, you know, yes. Where Karen Gillan was also in, but they didn't call that out because she was in some crazy makeup and mask.
Yeah. No, it was like one of those things where they will touch upon it at a later point in this series.
And he was saying things like, well, I don't know where the faces come from. They just pop out. I don't know who decides on the face. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe it just, you know, the Doctor Who regeneration Time Lord energy just comes in and goes, like, grabs a face out of your brain and decides, you know what, this is the one.
Well, I think it may be a callback to like when they kind of retconned the War Doctor, where it's just kind of like, you know, hey, Doctor 8, you've died, and now you can have a purpose. You can choose your purpose. Well, my purpose is to be the War Doctor, basically. So it's like one of those things where it's like, remember where David Tennant's Doctor wasn't done, so he chose his own face as he chose himself to regenerate into himself, basically, because he was a narcissistic piece of crap.
I mean, I don't know, piece of crap sounds like very judgmental, but whatever.
Well, he was narcissistic.
Yeah,
we can agree upon that. So, like, you know, so he's like, oh, I want to buy your clothes, and he's like, oh, buy the clothes.
Like, give me your coat. He's like, no, I can't, I'm cold. He's like, but I'm cold. So I'm just like, did he mug this old drunk for his coat? Like, that doesn't seem like the doctor.
Well, there were several things that once upon off screen that we're not sure of. Let's talk later in the episode. Oh, I know.
So, and he said he traded his watch. Later on, he says he traded his watch for the clothes. And it's
that nice watch? Oh.
But what watch was that?
I don't know. A nice one, I'm guessing. Okay. So, like, what? Well, like, you know, Claire's like, well, how can we find the doctor? Oh, wait, it mentions the Impossible Girl. Oh, well, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Then we turn around. It's like, oh, here's a restaurant on the end of the, yeah.
Sorry, it's a fun scene where we think Jenny is posing for a painting with Madame Vastra, and Madame Vastra is actually doing like the what they call in the Flophouse podcast the evidence dungeon, where you know they're just like, you know, in that context it's, you know, the serial killer who keeps all the evidence of his crimes in his basement or whatever. But there's always red string involved, or string and push pins. And so Lady Vastra is doing like push pins and like mapping out where all like the spontaneous human combustion has happened. And Jenny's posing in like some bustier thing. And she thinks Lady Vastra's painting her, but she's not. And then Clara comes in, and there's like, Jenny accuses her like of flirting with Clara again, basically saying like, dude, you're married. Come on. And then Clara is like, oh my god, I found him. Yes, there's an ad in the want ads, just says the Impossible Girl, lunch, like turn other side, lunch on the other side. And so she turns the newspaper literally over to the other side, and the other side of the newspaper is an ad for like Mancini's, I think, the restaurant.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like a Manson family. It's the Mancini's.
I didn't think of that. I didn't think of Manson family.
Yeah, so she goes and like sits in the booth, and then suddenly the doctor shows up, and he smells AF, I imagine.
Because he's wearing homeless dude clothes.
And she's like, oh, I knew you'd like put this in here because you're, you know, it's like the person who plays this ad is a narcissistic sociopath. And he's like, that's right, but like don't speak ill of yourself. I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't put it. I didn't put it. And all of a sudden it's like, boom, they're trapped.
Yeah.
They're trapped by robot people.
Yeah, like the clockwork people.
Yeah.
Now, and he keeps
saying, that was very cool. That was a tense scene.
Yeah, because I didn't notice it until like he actually said it. Like, hey, what's going on here? And they discover that like it's all people that are actually like machinery with people skin.
Well, rewatching it now,
they're not breathing.
Rewatching it, like, you know, from, you know, with my foreknowledge, it's like from the very start, there was an underlying like clockwork soundtrack going on underneath it.
Okay.
That you don't really like until they pointed it out. It's like no one's breathing and everything. Then you can hear it just like very blatantly. Before that, you heard like click, clock. You just think it's like a clock.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's very much so, you know, they're hearing it, but they're not hearing it. It was very well done.
Yeah. And they'll like show people who are like lifting a soup spoon up and just like holding it up and then lowering it again, like they're not actually eating. And then they're like strapped in, and they realize that they try to escape, and all the cyborgs like stand up to try to stop them.
Yeah.
And he plucks some of Clara's hair out and says like, oh no, like these people aren't breathing. And then the restaurant booth just like goes down to the basement. It lowers like an elevator, goes down to the basement, and the doctor uses the sonic screwdriver. He drops it, and Clara can't reach it with her foot, and he's like, I miss Amy.
And what? Like,
oh, who? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
Because she was just giantly tall. She was really tall. So, and that's, I assume that in that moment that he missed Amy because her legs were a lot longer.
And well-trained.
Well.
You know, whereas like Clara can only like pick it up and like shove it in his crotch, apparently.
And he's like, that's very symbolic. It was a weird.
Oh, Christ, you hit my three gonads. Ay, Jesus.
It was a weird little moment.
Yeah.
The sonic screwdriver is between his legs.
He's right.
Like, symbolic. I'm like,
but he uses it. He frees them. And, you know, all the clockwork people are all like in downtime mode. They're all like, you know, they're all like
recharging.
16%. And like waiting, so they're not gonna like, you know, be like freed until they're like at like 87%.
So yeah, and then
were they Apple products, Steve? You know Apple products better than I do.
I don't. They weren't Apple branded because then they would have had like a proprietary connection,
like a friendlier interface.
No, well, yes, an easier interface, but also like a proprietary physical connection in order to charge.
Oh, they were Androids.
Literally.
Shit. God damn it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they're standing there, and then the doctor gets away with the sonic screwdriver, and then the door closes, and he leaves Clara behind. And
how'd you feel when that happened?
I'm like, that's not something the doctor would do.
That was a dick move.
Yeah, it's not something the doctor would do. And she is confused by it too. And then she realizes, like, oh shit, he said don't breathe. And so she takes a deep breath, like the title of the episode. And the Clockwork Man and all the other androids, cyborgs, are just like, they ignore her then. They stop noticing her because she's not breathing. And then she tries to walk away in this stiff robot way. And then she gets through a door, but then there are more cyborgs there. And I thought it was clever the way they did it, where they had color coming in on the sides of the screen.
Yeah. Like
she's held her breath so long that she's starting to.
Yeah. Like Clara Cam.
Yeah.
Clara Cam was like, you know, it's like, it's starting to like dim and like turn red where, you know, clearly this is like what she's seeing.
Yeah, it's like flashing yellow and red on the edges. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when this happens, like if there's a scene where in a movie where someone has to like do a deep dive or like swim for a really long way or hold their breath for a certain amount of time, do you hold your breath to see how long you would make it?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I did that for this one. I did not make it very far at all. Now, granted, I am asthmatic, so I am like, you know, the limping gazelle at the edge of the herd for this kind of thing. But yeah, she made it way longer than I would have.
Yeah, I had childhood asthma. I smoked for 20 years. I quit like over a dozen years ago. But still, like, yeah, I hold my breath. No, I'll die.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I would totally like, you know, like way before What's-Her-Face and Poseidon Adventure died. Shelley Winters. Like a third of the time.
You know, I was thinking like, also Dominic Monaghan of Lost.
Well, like just sitting there. Yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, it's like not Penny's boat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, I'm just sitting
my note would have just said, my note would have just said no.
Yeah. Mine would just say, it's like, yeah, I'm fucking dead. Bye bye.
Yeah. So she's like captured, whatever. And then the
clockwork dude.
Yeah. We find out like she talks to the clockwork dude and then, the doctor kind of like, you know, she calls the clockwork dude's bluff because he's like, we see her flashback to being a substitute teacher or a teacher. And she's like, you behave, you're all getting kicked out of school or I'm going to get you kicked out of school. And they're all like, this girl is like, yeah, do it. And so when the clockwork guy says like, I'm going to kill you. She's like, yeah, do it. Okay. Yeah. You started out with your threat at 11. Where are you going to go from there? I already know you're not going to kill me because you need information from me. So fuck off.
Yeah. Let's play a little quid pro quo. It's like you answer a question. I won't. And then I'll answer one of your questions. No, I'm going to kill you. Going to kill you now unless you tell me. Yeah. Let's try this again. Tell me, what are you trying to do? I'm going to kill you unless you tell me information. Yeah. We're going to try it one more time. Yeah. We're bad guys. And we take pieces off of you. That was helpful. Thank you very much.
We take pieces off of you, and we ultimately want to go to the promised land.
Yes,
and I'm,
thank
and
you
I'm
for
like,
that.
Chuck E. Cheese? Well, you can just go there and pay money.
What was this, little Friday Nights at Freddy's? So then...
What?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
My younger listeners, they know from my Patreon.
Showbiz Pizza.
Where mouses can kill you up. Yeah. So, so then he's just kind of like, oh, well, there, you know, here's the information you provide. She goes, I don't know where he is, but I know he's here. He's got my back because the doctor always has my back. And she's like, the doctor has my back. And she just starts like, I know he has my back.
And she puts her hand like out behind her. Like he's behind me. He's going to help me. He's got my back.
Oh, but what was awesome about that? It was way later than you thought he would.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You're like, she's like, oh, fuck, that asshole just, like, disabandoned her. Then he grabs her hand. Yes!
And you're also like, well, how the fuck is he going to walk up and grab her hand without the clockwork dude seeing? And he was wearing a skin mask, which yeah. was gross, which was gross and off-putting.
Very, yeah. He's wearing yeah. people face.
Yeah,
gross. He Hannibal Lectered it.
Yeah.
Because somebody else Hannibal Lectered it. He was just like, you know, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, now I'm here. And it's like, wait for it, wait for it. Boom. And then, like, suddenly,
the Paternoster gang comes down like fucking ninja gymnasts, like the aerial ballet. And they come flying so down and all gracefully, and then Strax comes falling down like
a boom,
like a boulder wrapped in toilet paper. yeah, they start kicking ass. They've got swords, and the doctor, yeah. the clockwork man, goes over to that elevator restaurant booth, and he's like, "No one can stop me now.
I'm going to take away the emergency escape pod, blah blah blah.
And they're like, yeah, the doctor will never follow you. And then we see the doctor like hanging on to a little handle underneath.
Yep.
Oh, that was earlier. That was earlier when he called Clara handles and like, oh, you've changed.
Way you earlier. Let yourself go.
Yeah. Yeah. He said you let yourself go. I'm like, It turned from a robot head to an attractive young woman. So I don't know if that's letting yourself go.
You know, he just don't get it.
No, he's kind of like Strax in that way.
He's on reset. So yeah, so the dot, you know, so like a clockwork dude is going to escape. He's like, how could you possibly escape? He's like, with people skin.
Yeah, they made, and this was really gross.
Really gross.
He made like a fucking hot air balloon. But the balloon was made out of people skin, and that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, that went further than I expected Doctor Who as a show to go. Because, you know, you think about that, it's like, oh, okay, that's a dude's torso stitched to another lady's torso, like, literally to make a giant balloon. Like, that's a lot of death.
Yeah.
And earlier on, he said that the clockwork people... or the clockwork guy, like they can, like skin can be tanned like leather and last a long time, but organs rot. So it was all pretty, like pretty gross.
Yeah, there was not a whole lot of subtext going on.
Oh no.
your spare parts, your parts. We're going to use you. And yeah. It's like so basically, like you know, the doctor follows him up, and now this guy is going to. Use the escape pod to like, I don't know, because this spaceship had been under like London for millions of years.
I guess.
I'm guessing.
Because the guy was trying to go to the promised land and the doctor was like, dude, there is no promised land. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And
you've been around
like,
humans too long.
Yeah. And he's like, you should just jump out of here and terminate yourself. And he's like, no, that's against my programming. And the doctor's like, well, it's against my programming to kill.
Well,
and then the doctor said, well, one of us is wrong about our programming.
Right. And the doctor's like, oh, wait, you're like from the 51st century as a clockwork man.
Yeah.
And you're from the Marie Antoinette. I know the Madame Pompadour. Did you get that callback, dude?
I wasn't Madame Pompadour.
Lady Hare.
That's the one from like David Tennant was.
Yes.
It's like Napoleon's wife. One of our consort or something.
Not Napoleon, but like, you know, Louis the King, oh, King 12th Louis the, or something.
Louis the 14th or 15th.
Yeah, one of those.
One of the King Louis sequels.
When Rose and Mickey were traveling with the doctor, there was a horse crashed through a mirror.
Yeah.
So those were clockwork people who were the quote-unquote bad guys. This was a sister ship of them who... got stuck in a timey-wimey-ness and are trying to get back to whatever.
Well, he said, you're trying to get back to the 51st century the long way.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, but you're less whatever that was, and you're more human. When you have a broom and you replace the stick and the brush and the stick and the brush and the stick and the brush and the stick and the brush, is it the same broom? No, you're a different person. What do you see when we're flying out in the Thames?
And he's like, does it really matter? It still sweeps.
Yeah,
because the same thing. I've heard that analogy with a hammer before.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
the doctor and like you know the clockwork man are like you know fighting, and it's like you know I'm gonna kill you, but it's not against you know blah blah blah, or you're gonna jump, and like you know Clara and Vastra and Strax and Jenny are not. They're gonna get their asses kicked.
They're about to die. They're about to be murdered by clockwork people.
Right, unless the main clockwork dude deactivates. Yeah,
but Clara says, you know what? These people are stupid. Take a deep breath. And they do. And then she starts to reach for the sonic screwdriver, but Strax, who it looked like he was putting the gun to his own head.
I missed that part.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it looked like he was aiming the gun at his head in kind of a, you know, I would rather take myself out than let you take me out kind of thing. Like, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of killing me. I'm going to kill myself.
Well,
but in anyway, when he's doing that, like, he takes a breath and then they're all like, oh shit, we're all going to fight back again. Well, what I thought,
when, like, you know, when they all took a breath, Strax had a laser pistol, whatever.
Yeah, pointed at his own face.
You know, well, but no. But my point is, it's like, okay, they hold a breath and it's like, they, you know, now the clockwork people aren't paying attention to them. Then shoot those fuckers.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to not, like, stab them in the face.
Shoot them
also in the face when they're not reacting. But yeah, like, I assume because, like, blades were literally to their necks that that's when they took the breath and, like, kind of, like, got the blades to not be next to their necks. But yeah, at this point, it definitely looked to me like Strax was about to shoot himself in the face.
Yeah, but then, like, all the clockwork people fall down.
Yeah, they just stop. And it's like, then we show up, Then they pan up and the clockwork man is kind of splayed and stabbed through the spire on top of Big Ben, I think.
Or let's just say Parliament or something. I don't know.
I thought there was a clock face, but whatever.
I thought it was like one of those like domey buildings.
Big Ben, Little Benji, whatever. Who cares?
You know, Trafalgar Square. He's on top of Trafalgar Square. Yeah. He's been impaled.
If it was a skyscraper in Chicago, we would know what it was, but it wasn't.
Right. But then we like cut and like, so with like all those clockwork people are gone now, like, you know, it's like, oh, good thing. The police were here and like they fixed it all up. Now Claire's like, I'm going to come work for you. Is that okay?
Because the doctor abandoned her.
Again?
They went back to the Paternoster Gang's
third time?
House and like there is literally an empty square in the courtyard where the TARDIS used to be. And she's just like, oh, shit. Can I have a job? I need something to do.
Yeah. And they're like, of course, you're welcome here all the time.
And Strax is like, we don't need another boy. Or something.
I've already got a Tom-Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yep.
She's like, oh, you're back.
He's like, fuck yeah, get in here. And she goes into the TARDIS, and it is 100% redecorated.
I don't like what you've done.
And he's like, yeah, I need some round bits on the walls. I don't know where I put the round bits. Earlier on, when he is like ranting to the homeless person when he's in the alley with the nightshirt, he's like, oh, I need a big scarf. No, the Stark scarf is ridiculous. I need to let that go. And I'm like, oh shit, yes.
Nice little callback.
Probably.
Again. There were so many.
So then he's like in some like recliner in the TARDIS and with Clara, and he takes her to her, and she's like, I don't know if I want to travel with you because I don't know you that well. And you're different than my doctor. And obviously this is speaking to the fans saying like, yes, obviously it's a different doctor, but it's still the doctor.
Yeah. He's kind of like, he like references things that she spoke about with him with like, you know, it's like, well, who put the advert in there? You know, the woman who told you to come contact me when I was like in medieval times.
She's like, when she called, he's like,
I know.
Yeah, like that was never addressed. How she called a tech support number and it rang in like fucking the Dark Ages in Europe, where to the doctor in a monk or in an abbey,
right?
I think.
Well, they land on Earth and suddenly her celly blows up, and she's got
because they're in contemporary times,
right? And she's got to take this, and she's like, hello, Clara, it's me, Matt Smith.
Yeah, it was a Matt Smith cameo that I 100% did not see coming.
Did you remember, like, in the part of the Christmas special where she's, like, going into the TARDIS and the phone was hanging out there and she re-hung it back up?
Yeah,
that was literally taken from the episode.
I believe that, and I don't know if I remembered that or if I kind of like convinced myself that I remembered it because I saw it in this episode, you know?
Yeah.
But it seemed like it wasn't the Doctor as an old man, which I expected it to be. But she
was after he got the Regenergy and he was going back into the TARDIS. Remember, he like
appeared
to be. Yeah, it was after he got the Regenergy and before she came in and saw him, she goes, "You're you again." He's like, "Yeah, this is temporary. Don't get used to it, dude.
Just for a moment." Okay, so I tried to remember where in the episode where he was calling from Transalore. Yeah.
They had him the timeline. It was like after he got the Regenergy and he shot out, you know, he killed the Daleks with his Regenergy. And then she's like, "Where are you?" And then she like went back to the TARDIS. That was like that it was that time frame. He appeared young and then like she saw him just after he made the phone call.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And
what was that phone call about, Steve?
Well, it was about, dude, I need, well, he didn't call her dude. Clara, I need you. I need your help. I am the Doctor, but I'm still like adrift and I could use your help. I don't know what I'm doing yet. Like, please just stick around for a bit.
Who's he on the phone with?
What?
Who are you on the phone with there?
Yeah, Peter Capaldi wanders out. God, just impression is amazing. Peter Capaldi wanders out and is like, "Who's on the phone? It's me, isn't it? Aren't you talking to me?" And she's like, "Shit, yes, okay, I'll hang out with you a while. We'll travel together for a little bit." He's like, "Good, because seriously, I need you. And by the way, this isn't your neighborhood. It's what was it, Edinburgh? Glasgow.
It was Glasgow. That makes sense.
Yeah, and she's like, "Yeah, let's get..." No, he's chips. Like, "Do you want coffee or chips or chips and coffee or anything?" And she's like, "Fine, coffee, but you're paying." "Well, I don't have any money." "Fine, you're getting it then. You're picking it up."
That was a callback.
To what?
When, like, him and Amy.
I don't remember.
No, there was an episode where, like, yeah.
Oh, episode. I believe you. I've seen all these episodes once. You've seen them at least two times each, so...
So then, like, they kind of link arms. It's kind of like, "Oh, you." And he's like, "Oh, it's good to be traveling with you again, sir."
Yeah, because he still doesn't, he can't tell, it seems. I don't know. But he can tell the gender of a dinosaur. But he's confused on what Clara is.
And then Clockwork Man wakes up.
Clockwork Man wakes up in a really lovely garden with this attractive woman who's just like, "Hey, you made it. You're in paradise. Come on, let's dance."
Yeah, I'm weird and call me Missy. Come, you've made it to paradise.
Now
this is heaven.
I assume this is either a callback to something I don't know about, or, you know, like a reference to something I don't know about, or a precursor to things to come that is going to happen over the course of the season. I don't know which.
I always have to think about these things. When people say it's more the former than the latter.
So is it both? I think
it's more the latter than the former.
Okay, so it's more of a precursor to like a recurring thing in this season.
There's a possibly recurring thing.
All right. Whatever. So far,
what do you think overall?
It was a bit long. I know.
Well, did he feel more alien to you than normal? Because like usually he's like, "I love you," or I'm just like a human, but like kind of quirky. Look at me. I'm wearing like shoes that are like a Converse brand.
No, well, I think I need to see, I'm not sure yet, because I think I need to see an episode where he knows he's the Doctor the entire time. Like where he's self-possessed, because right now a good chunk of this, like there was a big scene, a long scene with him and like this British drunkard where on the street where he's basically in a nightshirt going, "Who am I? What am I doing? I need a scarf. No, I don't need a scarf." You know, kind of like I need to see him as his Doctor for like an entire episode, I think.
But for a first Doctor new actor episode, pretty good?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was pretty good. Like I said, it kind of reminded me when of David Tennant's first
Satsumas,
yes, with the Satsumas, because he was kind of like asleep part of the time, awake part of the time. Like this, I didn't see Peter Capaldi as like as fully formed Doctor. I saw him a bunch of the time, like kind of like wondering, like, God, who am I? What am I doing? This is gray hair. It's weird and confusing. It is, you know what I mean? Confusing.
So this episode, we have the return of Clara, the Paranostra gang, obviously.
Yeah, and the is the cop that they work with like the included in the? It's not included in the Paternoster gang, but is that a given?
He's not included in the Paternoster gang, but he is the same actor who appeared as the buffoon in the past, basically.
Just like on Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman's Sherlock, that's the same cop.
Mm-hmm. But the guy who played the drunk homeless-ish guy.
Oh yeah.
His name was Brian Miller.
Oh.
Yeah.
I say that like it means something to me. Oh.
Yeah. Because it sounds like every other name you've heard.
I don't know.
He actually appeared in Classic Who.
I can see that.
Yeah, he appeared in 83 story called Snake Dance.
Oh, Jesus. For a second, I thought you were going to say 83 episodes as.
No, in Snake Dance, that was Peter Davison era, the fifth Doctor. But more than that, he was married to Elizabeth Sladen, who was Sarah Jane Smith.
Sarah Jane Smith. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that actor was. And again, this is the return of Peter Capaldi. He was born in Glasgow in 1958.
Ooh. Does this make him the oldest Doctor? The oldest actor to play a doctor?
Well, he was the same age as, again, William Hartnell.
Yeah.
However, he seemed much not as old.
He does. As we talked about when we went over the TV movie last time, like William Hartnell had an advanced case of ageitis.
Yeah, whereas Filch, who was playing the doctor at that age, was literally 20 years older than the actor who played him.
Yeah.
Then he played in the movie, and you're kind of like, yeah, that seems about right. They look about the same. Like, no, that dude's in his 70s. This dude's in his 50s. Yeah. So Peter Capaldi was born in 1958. And, like, you know, he was 54?
55, 56.
Something like that. So, yeah.
If it aired in 2014, he'd been 56 or turning 56.
Oh, he was 55 when he was cast as Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Same age as William Hartnell.
Yeah.
He was a lifelong fan. He wrote a fan letter when he was a teenager.
That's awesome.
He was in a punk band with Craig Ferguson back in the day. Yeah. So they're old friends.
Him and
Craig Ferguson.
Has Craig Ferguson ever been in an episode of Doctor Who?
No, he has not. Which, you know, we think of to this date.
James Corden has. He's been in multiple episodes, so I just assume that, like, you know, a celebrity from the UK, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his Doctor Who-story, Peter Capaldi, he was Caecilius in The Fires of Pompeii.
Yes.
We mentioned that earlier. He was also in the 2009 Torchwood miniseries, Children of
Men. Earth. No, Earth. Okay.
Children. That's a different thing. Yeah, yeah, I was waiting for you to say Earth or Men.
So I don't remember Children of Earth that well. I know a couple of the plot points that happened, but I don't remember Peter Capaldi in it. But I'm sure if I watched 30 seconds of it with him, I'd be like, oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that was an awesome fucking miniseries. The big takeaway is what happened, Steve?
Isn't that where they cured death?
No, that was the next one.
Oh.
That was the one where, like, everyone who dies didn't, and everyone who could die, everyone who couldn't die would.
It was essentially death takes a holiday for most people. Yeah. Okay. So the children are standing on like rooftops, ready to jump or something. Like
it was something where like some alien was going to like have all the children killed or something. Watch that series. It was very good.
I enjoyed Torchwood, even though I watched it before Doctor Who. So, you know.
Yeah. And I am going to bring in our unsung crew member of the episode slightly early. I'm going off track.
Okay. I don't remember.
I'm, I'm, I'm going off the skids. I'm like jumping off the side of the mountain before you even expect I'm going to like go down the slaloms.
I don't know when you normally do Unsung Crew Member, I guess. I just thought it was after the little like trivia thing. So, okay.
Well, usually the Unsung Crew Member is some like cast, not even like a cast member, someone like, you know, who's just like, you know what? I do sound or
the contact lens technician.
Right, exactly. You know what today? I'm going to have an actor on this episode.
What?
I know.
That's not really a crew member. That's a cast member. So your premise is flawed.
He's crew.
I guess.
Capaldi is also crew.
Whatever. Is that who you're crew? Doing?
Yeah, no, I'm not. The name is Clemso. He was the clockwork android.
Okay. This better be good. You're breaking the rules.
Oh, you know what? I looked him up. He's kind of almost a professional extra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know what? Like looking at his CV in Skyfall, he played casino guest. Broadchurch, he played townsfolk. Guess what he played in Fast and Furious 6, Steve?
A driver?
Passerby.
Okay.
And the Muppets Most Wanted, you saw that, right?
Yeah.
He was Gulag Prisoner.
Oh, with Danny Trejo.
Sure.
Well, he was just Danny Trejo played himself, but as a prisoner. Okay, whatever.
No, his next role, it was in Guardians of the Galaxy, where he played Kylan prisoner. He was a prisoner again. I think he started to find, like, you know, this is what's going to get me roles.
Yeah. Prisoners of Muppets and Marvel characters.
But then his next role, he chose from Kingsman, The Secret Service. He was a fashionista.
I've seen that movie a couple times and I don't remember him, but okay.
In Star Wars 7, Force Awakens, he was a resistance fighter. In Star Wars 8, The Last Jedi, he was casino patron. Remember, he was a casino guest in Skyfall?
Oh, it's all coming together.
This is like the same universe, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, and Solo, A Star Wars Story, he was a Dryden guest. I don't know. I didn't see that movie. It makes no sense.
I think Dryden, wasn't that Paul Bettany's character's name?
Dude, you saw the movie. I didn't.
I saw it like twice.
Yeah, he was in an episode of Sherlock. You'll never guess this one. He played Chinaman.
No.
Yeah, it says Chinaman.
No, dude.
Pokemon.
No.
In Pokemon Detective Pikachu, he played a Pokemon trainer. Oh.
Okay.
And Doolittle, you know, the one from earlier this year.
The Robert Downey Jr. one.
Yeah, he played a pirate. Arr.
Okay.
And his latest credit is in Black Widow. Not yet released.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a gulag inmate. So
a lot of prisoners and a lot of casino guests.
You know, I think that this is just like, this is his universe. This is the Clemso universe.
Maybe he's thrown into a lot of prisons because he's cheating the casinos.
And Clemso, we salute you. Boom. Yeah, that's basically all I got.
Cool. Cool.
Anything else you want to say about this here episode we watched? I thought the special effects were very good.
Yes.
I mean, thought they spent some money, even though the dinosaur was like a million feet tall and he should not have been that tall. He should not have been towering over the Big Ben.
I do.
Weren't T-Rexes their largest, like 25 feet tall or something?
I honestly don't know. I was never a dinosaur kid. You know, some kids who are like obsessive about dinosaurs. I was more obsessive about Star Wars and G.I. Joe. It's one of those things kind of like the, I forget the episode, the Christmas special where they had the Iron Giant stomping around Victorian era.
Next Doctor.
It's just kind of like you have a dinosaur in London that burst into flames in front of a bunch of people. Like, it seems like, I don't know. Like,
it happened with like 10 years of like the next Doctor. That was like all that similar time frame.
It seems like Mickey and Rose would have read about that in the history books and maybe mentioned it when they started time traveling. They would have been like, maybe this explains the dinosaur that burst into flames in Victorian era London.
I'm Queen Elizabeth II. That's fake news. Yeah. That news is fake news. Ooh, isn't that right, Stalin?
Arr. Stalin?
Arr.
Okay.
Well, that anyway, that's the right time frame.
I don't know.
Lenin was earlier. Stalin was later.
I enjoyed. I do enjoy the Paternoster Gang. I do. Lady Vastra and Jenny and Strax. I do really enjoy them, and I hope they, you know, not every episode. I think having an entire like. Having them in all the time would be a little exhausting, but you know, they pop up a couple times a season and I enjoy it. So
kind of like back in Tenants Day when like Jack would show up like, hey, Jack's in
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a nice surprise. I enjoyed
although
that.
I did, thank like you. We said earlier, I did enjoy Torchwood. Right. That was basically Jack all the time. but yeah, this, the Paternoster Gang, I don't know. Strax might be get a bit old every day, all day, you know? But whatever. I like it.
Well, okay. So we're done talking about this episode. Hey, Steve, did anyone contact us perchance through our emails or our twites or our
whites
or our instas or our...
We don't have that.
Or
we
our
don't.
Facebooks.
I
or
do
our...
personally. I have that personally. We don't have a Facebook for the show.
Our time space or something.
Not in the last 2 weeks. No one has...
our face link.
No one has emailed drunkterwho@gmail.com or reached out to SR Dolan on Twitter or drunkterwho on Twitter. No one has reached out, and that's cool. If you feel
nobody
like
it, loves us.
If you no, I not even us. If you feel
that's
like
true.
Emailing drunkterwho@gmail.com, that is your best bet to get a hold of us.
Or
we appreciate it. But I already mentioned the other two, the Twitter things that nobody really uses.
So. I wasn't paying attention because I was thinking about a future bit.
Okay, DrunkterWho on Twitter or SRDAHLIN. That's just mine that
that's
I've
true.
Had for like 10 years now. Cause
cool.
Whatever.
So, did anybody reach out to us, Steve? I know, I'm kidding. So, you know what? We're going to talk about another episode of Doctor Who soon on this here podcast we call Drunkter Who.
God, we're not done yet.
No, we're almost done. And then you can like, you know, have the rest of your holiday with your wife and
Labor Day
all
weekend.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Labor Day weekend. So we're going to watch episode 2 of series 8 called Into the Dalek. Now, Steve, ignoring any porn you've watched in the past. Okay. What is Into the Dalek about?
So, okay. So we're going to be inner space. They're in the TARDIS and they're going around and like they basically are like, you know what, Clara's like, I'm gonna help you, and the Doctor's like, I'm gonna appreciate that help, and so they go in and they go through a weird wormhole that makes the TARDIS microscopic with the Doctor and Clara in it, and all of a sudden they get injected into a Dalek, and the Doctor's like, oh my god, I am going to defeat the Daleks. By taking over the one we're inside, and we're gonna take him down from the inside like a I don't know sleeper cell, and so basically the Doctor is like infecting, he's trying to be, like they've taken over the Dalek and they're trying to like talk like a Dalek and like act like a Dalek, but there are no Daleks that are sarcastic, so when Clara gets on the microphone it just confuses the fuck out of all the other Daleks. And so, you know, then they like, they basically take out like a small group of Daleks, but not all of them. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh no, shit, the ship we're on is going to blow up. So we have to get out of the Dalek. And then they do, they trigger that Dalek's allergies and it sneezes them right out of that weird eye stalk thing.
Ew.
And then right before the TARDIS gets really big and go zaps into another time, and then that ship explodes and the Daleks last look, because like it took on some of their personalities, and they're like, oh, this is a good thing, is what the Doctor said, or the Dalek says sarcastically.
No, the Dalek is like face blind because the Doctor doesn't like know the difference between a human and a potato, you know, potato monster. And it's also like a sociopathic.
Dude, don't talk about Strax that way.
You know, he's a potato monster.
He There's could no, be. Yes.
He understands.
Yes.
But like, okay, so it says into the Dalek. Does this Dalek have a name? What is this Dalek's name, Steve?
Dale.
So Dale the Dalek.
Yeah. Yes.
So Steve.
Yeah.
Do you have any recollection of like what you described the episode we just watched?
I do. After watching it, I'm like, I think, because of course, I mentioned for like 3 or 4 episodes in a row that Peter Capaldi was going to like show up before he actually did. And on one of them, I think that the Clara enlists the Paternoster gang's help in order to like teach Peter Capaldi to be the doctor because he didn't remember what that was. I think I said something to that effect, but I don't remember when I said it for what episode.
So our fourth level Patreon subscribers, that's now you'll thing. Be automatically upgraded to the fifth level.
We don't,
because like
you, it's not merit based, it's cash based, and we don't have that thing.
It's both. It's meritly cash based.
Nope, we don't have
so,
it.
So because like they assumed they were the ones who correctly answered. That's what Steve would say.
Did you
he would
do a poll?
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah. Don't you remember Steve? You like you're the one who like said like, oh, you better do a poll, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sure.
It's like, yeah, so our fifth levels now, it's much like in England where, like, you know, they had, like, the A levels and the B levels.
Oh, I thought it was more like D&D where they defeated, like, the swamp hag and they leveled up.
Oh, that's stupid, Steve. There's no swamp hags. But there are Daleks.
Sure.
And there are, like, ice warriors.
Yes.
And also water Martians who and, like
and Cybermen.
You know what? Not, you know, okay, I'm not going to spoil anything. The ickiest alien creature I've ever seen in Doctor Who actually comes in Jodie Whittaker's time.
Okay.
And it's like anytime I see this creature, I have to turn away because it grosses me out so much.
And you've seen farting Slovenes.
You know what the creatures like in the Mars episode, you know, the waters of Mars were like, you know, I thought they were pretty bad. These other creatures, you know, again, like in like, I don't know what, like probably 2.5 years when we're actually
whatever.
Like see the episode, like that episode grosses me out. I cannot look at them. I can't wait to tell you how gross they are.
Okay, cool.
Anywho. So yeah, let's see what happens. The next episode of Doctor Who, Dalek.
But you didn't tell me which one I guessed correctly on for the pet one we just watched.
I think it was the Christmas episode where you like said, it's like, oh, the Doctor, like, you know, lands in Victorian England and the Paternoster gang show up and he doesn't know who he is. And he has to like enroll the Paternoster gang with Clara, who doesn't appreciate that he's changed his face sort of thing. I mean, there was some like stuff where you're like, I'm like, as I'm hearing it, I'm like, oh, that's pretty much spot on, dude.
For like 3 episodes from now. Okay.
Right. But like, you know, you might even like said something about a fucking dinosaur. It's like,
I don't think
out,
I did.
And a dinosaur puffed out the TARDIS.
I don't think I did.
I probably would have like came in my pants if you did that.
I do remember that I did say that like the Paternoster gang, Clara and Clara, help the Doctor realize he's actually the Doctor after regenerating into Peter Capaldi.
And it was all about love.
But of course, I wasn't right on the timing, so it doesn't really count. So.
Yeah, but it was still kind of like, I was like, huh. Yeah. Which?
The real
you're starting to get like, you're getting the pattern of like how this like thing works. I'm just saying.
You know, the real time traveling dinosaur along the way was love.
I hate you.
I know you
I was like taking a slug of beer, you fucker.
All right. Let's be done.
So on that note, the real love is our love for our listeners.
Sure, yes.
So thank you for listening.
Also our love of beer.
And also our love of beer, which we've had far too many.
I think I had 4.
Fifth one.
2 3-1-2s and 2 little sum-sums.
I had some somethings. I had a little rogue. I had more tequila than I should have had because I'm working tomorrow.
I mean, it was a long episode.
Thanks for listening to the Drunk Who podcast. I've been John.
I've been Steve.
And we'll see you on the next time, people. And all until right. then, Heidi gets the last word.
What? Hold on. Am I just like hearing myself echo? No, I guess not.
Hearing
okay.
you echo.
No, I guess. Okay.
I threw my glasses off. That might be why.